Good, we're continuing with John chapter 3. Putting God first. Putting God first. It's so easy to say, so hard to do. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Ainon, near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Baptism is a declaration that a person started a new life. The old life had died. They were born again. It's a testimony that a person from now on is going to live for Jesus. So, both John the Baptist, that is, not John the writer of John, and his relative Jesus were baptizing people. However, we see there in John 4 that Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples did. So this word baptizo is related to baptismos, which is a washing. So in Mark 7, that same word is used for washing of hands, cups, pitchers, vessels. Okay, it is a washing. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We saw that. So, this decision marks and acknowledges that there has been a cleansing of our heart by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a public statement. I need to be washed clean. You can't come to God without repentance. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We need the cleansing. We walk in mud. We need the cleansing. Sometimes as we get old in the faith, you know, we sometimes lose sight of our uncleanness. Little sins go unnoticed. They're habit, or they're part of us, or whatever. No, they need to be washed. The Old Testament is adamant on washing. Even before germs were discovered, you read the laws in the Old Testament and they washed, and they washed, and they didn't have a microscope to see that. You know, why did God give you smell? So that you could smell the stench and you could say, this is unclean. People pooed outside the camp. Okay, unclean. And this whole thing of uncleanness was there for us to understand sin. Remember, the rule is everything in the physical is given to you to understand the spiritual. Everything in the physical is given to you to understand the spiritual. So, in Mark 28:19, Jesus commands us to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are the three roots of our adoption into God's family. And we have there, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. Most authority? Some authority? No. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So many alls there, isn't there? All authority. Not most authority, all authority. Make disciples of all nations. No racism at all nations. Teaching them to observe all things. All things. Not most things in the scriptures, not the things that we just like to agree with. No, all things. And I'm with you sometimes. No, I missed that. I'm with you always. Always. When you don't feel like he's with you, he's still with you. I'm with you always. When you're down, I'm with you always. Even to the end of the age. Note firstly that Christ has all authority. We act and obey under his lordship. Understanding comes first. No. Understanding comes after obedience. The obedience comes first. Even when you don't understand, you obey. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So exclusive, isn't it? Every knee bows, every tongue confesses. You know, modern science can not raise the dead. Modern science cannot feed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children in the crowd, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Modern science cannot turn water into wine. Modern science cannot speak to the waves and calm them, be still. The wind and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. Yep, can't do it. No waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. What a great hymn that is. We haven't sung it, actually. We must sing it one. Who knows it? Yeah. An old one. Yep, that's good. Our new life begins in all these three persons of the Trinity. It begins with the Father, confirming that we're adopted as his children into the family. It begins with the Son, and we rejoice that we are cleansed. And it begins in the Holy Spirit to guide us in all that we think and say and do. No longer do we fall for the lie that we don't belong. Nor do we need to battle with low self-esteem. We are loved by the Father. No longer can Satan beat us and say, your sins matter too much. No, our sins are forgiven. We're totally forgiven. No longer do we rely on going alone, not having any access to advice. There is the Holy Spirit there, right beside us, to tell us where to go, to shut doors and open doors. And even when we can't see, we say, pray, Lord, would you shut doors that I'm not meant to go into and open doors that I'm meant to go through. We are told about Jesus, this is he who baptizes in Holy Spirit. And we people, we must constantly practice listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do? This way? That way? Don't even argue, just, yep, right, gone. In Romans 6, Paul teaches us that baptism is the symbol of death and resurrection of Jesus. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. This resurrection is an amazing insight for people who can see it. Because for the rest of the world, death is the end. And death came at the fall in Genesis 3. Through one man, sin entered in the world, and death through sin. Okay? Came then. There will be an end. But Christ came as the sinless one, as the Son of Man, and he conquered death. He went through it and died and rose again and said to death, you didn't win. You didn't win. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. What a magnificent statement. Danger of complacency is huge. When believers just focus on grace, we can fail to live for God. The danger of focusing on the blessing and prosperity is that sin and hell are rarely mentioned. And yes, we should look often at the grace of God. The deceit of Satan is that we are told and sometimes even believe that we are trapped in sin. We know we're forgiven, but we still think we're trapped. So baptism establishes before witnesses this legality that we have been resurrected into a new life, freed from the grips of the enemy. And this needs to be stated audibly, for demonic forces to hear. Demons cannot read your mind. So you need to state it audibly. The act of baptism, however, isn't in itself a saving action. The thief on the cross doesn't get baptized and he's saved. For if, Romans 6 again, we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. What a promise. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Take one. Yeah. Okay. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Now, reckon yourselves. That means you've got to actually look at your life and say, I am dead to sin. My baptism was a witness to that. But alive to God in Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. What's that? That means it's a conscious statement, a decision. Sin will not reign in my mortal bodies, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of righteousness to sin. Whatever you're doing that is sinful, we just need to stop it. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Do not think that you can do warfare just in your head. Satan can put thoughts into your mind, and he knows he is scored by observing your actions. I know my grandkids like ice cream because when I watch them eat it, they don't care about it dribbling everywhere. It's just gobble. Okay? You watch the actions. When we make important decisions, we need to speak them out so that we hear ourselves and others, especially spiritual beings, both demonic and angelic, can hear our stand and witness our decision. Now, it is the same with your prayers. Connecting with Kerry there, praying for your father in Tasmania. People, all authority has been given to you, so you speak it out. And you say, I bind a spirit of self-harm. In the name of Jesus, get out of this person. I bind whatever the spirit is. If you see a spirit, I bind it in the name of Jesus. Jesus has given you authority and you speak it out. You don't just think it, you speak it out. The worst that can happen is you'll look a fool. But most of the time, like 99% of the time, only you know you've done it anyway. When Sue was in hospital, I cast out, I said, as I prayed over, I said, any demonic spirit that's putting the stone in your gallbladder, I cast out and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, get out! You have no authority over my wife. So the stone disappears. And I sang that song, the stone's been rolled away. Right? And then there was the pain and the nausea, and I prayed against that. I prayed against the pains. Whatever spirit is there that's causing this pain, I bind it in the name of Jesus and I cast you out. You have no authority to be there. But it has to be verbal. It has to be there. Now, no one else is around. So why would I feel foolish doing it when no one's actually seeing me except for me? People, I encourage you to do it. You've got nothing to lose. Just do it. You have authority based on Scripture. Speak it out. Pray, bind spirits, cast them out and say, you have no authority. You have the authority because of Jesus Christ. speak it out. If you see something in you, speak it out. Okay? If you're trapped by any demonic spirit of lust, covetousness, greed, whatever, just say, I bind it in the name of Jesus, get out. And the scripture says, you know, get into praise. Put on praise music. Worship God and your mind will change. Can you lose? What can you lose? The public declaration of baptism and our repeated declaration of the newness of our regenerated life is a legal pronouncement that we are no longer slaves to sin. Speak it out. You're usually alone, or in the crowd, or in a car, or whatever. Speak it out. But part of your determination is the verbal declaration. You know, I am not a slave to sin. Say it out. When you're being tempted, when you're being hassled by any temptation, by demonic spirits, I am not a slave to sin. That's it. Bang. That's the legal statement. I will not present my body as an instrument of unrighteousness. Speak it out. That is your decision. You speak it out. Sin will not have dominion over me. Speak it out. I am a child of God. Feeling forsaken, feeling like you've got nothing, no one cares. I am a child of God. That's it. Bang! Hit the demon where it is. You know, Jesus teaches in Matthew 12. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow! By your words. By your thoughts? No, no, no. By your words. By your thoughts so you're not embarrassed? No, no. By your words. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Speak it out. Because you stand on holy ground. You are children of God. And the ground you stand on is holy ground because you're standing on it. And so you speak it out. So in your battle to score for God, speak it out. Speak it out at night. Speak it out in the bed. Speak it out on your walk. Speak it out when we're singing in church. Speak it out in the car. You know, our songs and our hymns in the service are included to lead you to God. They're not the end point. So if in your leading to God you need to speak it out, speak it out. Speak it out. Well, the rest of us sing. You speak it out and you speak and pray to God. The end point is that you connect with God, not that you sing the song. The song is just a passageway. When Satan says that God is sick and tired of you, a bruised reed he will not break and a smoking flax he will not quench. How beautiful is that? When I read that this week, I thought, wow, felt very much like a smoking flax and a bruised reed. You know, but Jesus is so tender. He quotes Isaiah in that. You know, yeah, I'm not going to snap you off, Robert, just because you're just smoking instead of a fire. No. When Satan says that you don't belong anywhere, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. How huge is that? Speak it out. I am a child of God. If the enemy says you've got no future, therefore you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ. And ladies, we don't get hung up on son, do we? Because the men, we men are part of the bride of Christ as well. It's not a gender thing at all, right? Son, someone who's an heir, who inherits all the good things of God. In the temptations of Jesus in Matthew 4, Jesus quotes scripture three times. There are three temptations, and every time it goes back to the Word of God. We are blessed to have the Word of God. How foolish we are not to memorize it, not to eat it, not to devour it, not to underline it, not to get a notebook and write it out all the time. Whenever God blesses you with an insight, grab it, because that is life. When you grab that, that is the life of God. John 3, then there arose between some of John's disciples and Jews about a dispute. and the Jews about purification, and they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he's baptizing, and all are coming to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing unless it was given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, I must decrease. One of Satan's strategies is to create division. And people thought they could create division between Jesus and John. And Paul teaches, you know, in 1 Corinthians, Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How easy it is to disagree with believers and to judge others. Are we willing to admit that we've changed over the last few years, over the last 5 years, that there are things that you would disagree with yourself if you could meet the person 5 years ago? If you haven't changed, then one wonders whether we've grown at all. We all come from unique backgrounds with a unique array of skills, but humility is the key to unity. One day, when we all get to heaven, we will stand before the Lamb of God and in unity proclaim every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as in the sea and all that are in them. Can you imagine it? It's the fish, it's the goannas, it's the snakes, it's the birds. Every creature, not just the people, every creature. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Blessing and honour and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb for ever and ever. What a time that will be. Every creature, the birds, everything, the ants, the grubs, every creature. Our ministry must have the goal of glorifying God. He must increase, we must decrease. You know, there's a similarity between sermons and conversations. One of the dangers of preparing a sermon is aiming at entertainment. So you start with a joke, you start with a little story, and you capture people's minds, supposedly. That's all rubbish, okay? The aim is for the anointing of God to connect the people, connect you, with the word of God. So when the preacher is gone, you are connected with God. That is the aim, the connection. And the same thing applies to your conversations. When you leave your friend, something of God must remain. So what you pray for is you pray for wisdom so that you drop diamonds in a conversation. You drop a diamond in a conversation. Diamonds of God. These diamonds are the words of life that God speaks to you when you read the Bible. It is your good news, which is the gospel. You know, it says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Whoa. Yes. Never mind, we might have missed that. And he who comes from above is above all. I don't know where that is. yep. He who is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his ministry, his destiny. You know, we saw in the Israel Folo incident that the world aggressively rejects the gospel. The world aggressively. People mention hell, they say go to hell and whatever, all that, and it doesn't matter anything at all. But when this guy was sincere, when he quotes the word of God, then their world collapses. The world is offended by the gospel because God demands repentance. And to repent, you have to say, I'm wrong. John the Baptist didn't care about political correction. There in Matthew 14. Now, where is Matthew 14? There we go.
Yep.
At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist." He thought Jesus was John the Baptist. "He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." Herod is really scared. "For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, 'It's not lawful for you to have her.' And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, 'Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter.' And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison." John the Baptist was not politically correct. Do you correct the king? Do you say to the king, "This is wrong"? No, didn't care. When you put God first, it could cost you everything. When Jesus spoke about heaven, John says, "No one received his testimony." We have to stand with the persecuted believers in this world. I showed you the other day, every day about 10 Christians are killed because of their testimony. We have to do everything we can to help them. It's a priority. Men are killed, women are raped because they stand for Jesus. They are our brothers and sisters in God. So John 3 finishes like this. "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. But he who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." The Son of God stood amongst men, and people actually rejected his testimony. How hopeless is that? They would have voted for the one who promised riches. He promised the Spirit without measure. All we have to do is to believe, and we have everlasting life. Those who do not believe have the wrath of God abiding in them. But your part is desperately important. When you receive the testimony of Jesus, you set your seal, you certify, you guarantee that God is true. See, people, it says in the scriptures that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that God gave you. Not him, not her, you. Not the second-hand word. It is your testimony. This is what God showed me. That is the power. Second-hand stuff is weaker. You know, come and see this man and he'll tell you everything. No. Your friend wants to know what God has done to you. You. What God has showed you in your Bible reading today. That is the power of God unto salvation. Your gospel. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That is, if you walk with God. So how precious is this time? If you don't spend time every day, if you don't start the way with God, I encourage you to do that. Just open the Word of God. Quarter of an hour. If you read the scriptures for quarter of an hour, you will read through the whole Bible in a year. Okay? That's it. And let God open up the Word of God so you say, "Wow, I never saw that before. Wow, that's different. Wow," underline it. Do something with it, because that is the power. And then pray that God will allow you to drop that diamond somewhere in your conversation with someone, a stranger, a friend, or whatever. So this is what God showed me today. Or, you know, this is what I need to do. Because that is life. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. It amazed me that Jesus could have supported himself. I mean, you turn water into wine, you can make money out of that, you know. Daphne, just get all the water there, please, okay, and I'll turn it into wine, okay, that's right, and we'll be right, okay. I'll get you a new car. Okay, good. Right, so simple. But we read in the scriptures, and we saw there, when we were looking at Mary Magdalene over Easter, that she and the other women there supported him. So they had the food, they had the shelter. Why? Why not be self-supporting? I would have been, yeah, look, I don't need your help, okay, I'm fine. Because God encouraged us to be involved. When you give, you are lifted up. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And we need each other in this fellowship. So, I encourage you people. I encourage you to walk with God. Talk with God. Spend time with God. Cry before God. Speak it out. Drop diamonds. Wherever you go. God will give you diamonds. Drop them, drop them. This is the thing. Pray to drop diamonds in your conversation. So people pick them up and say, wow, this is life. Let's stand and sing. Are you playing or am I playing? You're playing. Okay. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Let's stand and finish with this song.